It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now, church leaders grapple with white Christian nationalism in American politics and how to minister amid deep divisions. The term referring to people who believe our country was founded by Christians who modeled laws after Protestant ideals with a mission to spread those ideals above all. Call in with questions about white Christian nationalism, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Reverend Leah Shade is an associate professor of preaching and worship at Lexington Theological Seminary in Kentucky. Leads workshops for clergy on how to counter Christian nationalism during Lent. Reverend Shade, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate, for this invitation. I'm really honored to be with you today.
Well, let's reflect a bit, a moment. What are you thinking about on the day after Ash Wednesday?
Well, one of the things that I'm thinking about is how to equip pastors and preachers to address Christian nationalism during Lent. And I developed a series of sermon helps to give them ideas for looking at some of the biblical texts and seeing how we can help counter things like anti-Semitism, disability discrimination, racism, violence, misogyny, and all of those things that are part of the white Christian nationalist platform.
One of your sermon helps, and you mentioned it there, was a workshop encountering the misogyny and toxic masculinity of Christian nationalism. Can you talk a bit with us on how you approach this issue?
Yes, one of the things that is a basis for Christian nationalism is a hierarchical view of humanity, where white Christian males are on top of the pyramid, and white Christian females are just below them. And then it goes in descending order to people of color and all the way down to creation at the lowest level. So anybody who is deemed to be less than or other than straight white Christian individuals is seen as lesser than, and needs to be either highly regulated, as we were seeing in all of the laws that are being passed and all of the policies that are being put forward to promote this agenda, or to do violence to these individuals and erase their historical memory and just truly make America into this distorted ideal of what they think Christianity is, which is actually the opposite, the very opposite of what Jesus taught.
How do you connect that then to a sermon and what a pastor or a minister would say with those thoughts and ideals being held by congregants?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the texts that I look at is the story in John, the Gospel of John, about Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman at the well. And in that society, women were deemed to be lower than men. They were seen as property. And so when Jesus encounters her, he treats her with respect. He talks to her about living water, you know, what can sustain people beyond the ephemeral things that we think are going to give our lives meaning. Talks to her about, the gift of eternal life. And has a very frank discussion with her about the fact that she has five husbands. And in that society, the reason she would have five husbands is not because she's some kind of like Hollywood starlet who's a serial divorcer, but but in fact, in that society, if a husband decided to discard a wife, she was damaged goods, and she would, you know, be passed around, her spouse died, and she had to be married to the spouse's brother. So all of these things made her contemptible in her society. So when Jesus talks to her as an equal and entrusts her with the message of good news that he's trying to proclaim in that time, she goes to her community and they see her with new eyes, and she's actually restored to her community. She's given respect. So this is very much the opposite of the way males are treated or females are treated by, say, individuals like the former president who wanted to grab females by their genitals and to do anything with them that he felt he wanted to do because he had that power and he had that authority to do that. So there's a stark contrast from what we see that Jesus does compared to the values that we see within white Christian nationalism.
I want to touch here on, you know, your book, as you look at the impact of former President Donald Trump preaching in the purple zone. You know, he's running for president in 2024. I wonder how will you approach your work and preaching in the wake of that announcement compared to the last time he ran?
Yes, that's an important point, because one of the things that we in the group that I also co-founded called the Clergy Emergency League, which is a network of pastors who are really trying to do the counter Christian nationalism. We realized early on that even after the former president had been voted out of office, that he was not going away. And not only is he running again, but his minions are promoting his message of white Christian nationalism at the local, state, and national level. And so it's very important for pastors to talk with their congregants, educate, use resources, use book studies, and encourage their congregants to take action to protect those most vulnerable in our society. So my book, Preaching in the Purple Zone, Ministry in the Red-Blue Divide, offers a method to do that I call the sermon dialogue sermon process, where a pastor can preach a sermon that invites people into what's called deliberative dialogue in order to use their critical thinking skills and to find the values that are important to them on contemporary topics that are affecting the lives of their congregants and the community. And then a follow-up sermon to say, here are the values, here's the common ground that we saw as a group, even in the midst of our differences, and here's where God might be calling us to move forward as a congregation.
What if they don't want to talk? What if dialogue isn't something that they want to be a part of?
Well, you're right. Not everyone is open to dialogue, because dialogue for some feels like a threat to their ideology. So for the people who are not going to participate, that they're going to self-select out. There's not much you can do about that other than to keep the invitation open, keep the pastoral relationships as much intact as possible, continue to treat them with love and respect that is modeled for us by Christian and Jewish teachings. And for the people who do want to engage these conversations, and I will tell you from the surveys that I've done of parishioners and pastors over the last 6 years, people actually do want to, the majority of people do want to engage these conversations because they're looking for biblical and theological guidance for how to think about these social issues that are affecting their lives and their families and their neighbors.
Author and ordained Lutheran minister Leah Shade with us, helping clergy and congregations take on these social issues with a nonpartisan, Bible-centered approach. She contributed to the Wisconsin Council of Churches' new guide on Jesus and Justice in Public, it's called. Join in on White Christian Nationalism, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with Reverend Leah Shade on the faculty of Lexington Theological Seminary about the rising influence of white Christian nationalism and how church leaders are responding. She co-founded the Clergy Emergency League. This is a network of thousands of pastors nationwide navigating political issues. Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Charlotte now in Milwaukee. Charlotte, hi, go ahead.
Good morning. Hey, I'm a Black woman that goes to an all-Black church, and we do talk about Black Power nowadays. How do we tell our white children that it's different than white power?
Charlotte,
wow,
thank
I'm
you.
So
yes,
glad for that question. So one of the things that's really important for white allies to do with our children is to teach them history, to teach them that for centuries, slaves had no power, were not even regarded as fully human. And so when we hear the term Black Power, whites are going to feel some anxiety. You know, there's this, you know, this concern that Blacks are going to take over. But if you understand it historically, to realize this is about the balancing and the restoration and the reparations that are due to our siblings of color. And so to recognize their contributions, their achievements, what they have given to this country, what has been stolen from them in terms of their labor and their bodies. So Black Power is about restoration and acknowledging them as fully human, having full rights, and being able to be leaders and contributors in this society. And so when we see this legislation that's being passed to take to not teach African American history or to not teach critical race theory, which most of them don't even understand what that means, we can see this is a movement to silence those voices, to actually disempower and to erase that history. So white allies need to push back at this at all levels.
You surveyed how often religious leaders use the church to preach about social justice or politics. What have you found?
Well, now I just want to clarify. I wouldn't say that they use the church to teach about or preach about these issues. What most pastors want to do is to be able to bring a biblical and theological lens and an ethical and moral one to the issues that are affecting people. So they're not trying to push a political agenda per se. What they're recognizing is that like politics really comes from the Greek word polis, which means citizens. So anything that affects the citizens is going to be something that we can talk about. And we see this modeled all throughout the scriptures. We see that the prophets of Israel talked about contemporary issues of their time. We see that Jesus talked about taxes. He talked about who has access to health care, how we're going to distribute wealth, how we're going to treat people who are considered outsiders, all of those things. So what we're seeing in the surveys that we've done since 2017 is that mainline Protestant pastors are actually being more willing to address these issues because they're seeing how much it affects their folks. Even if they get pushback that, well, you're being too political, a lot of them are willing to take that risk because they know what's at stake. Now, it does depend on whether a pastor is particularly vulnerable. So if you have a pastor of color in a white congregation, if you have a female pastor in a rural congregation, those kinds of constellations of characteristics might make a pastor feel more vulnerable and less willing to engage those topics.
There are still the power dynamics there.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Reverend Leah Shade with us is an associate professor of preaching and worship at Lexington Theological Seminary. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Patrick now in Viroqua. Patrick, hi.
Hey, good morning. Good show. I'll make this quick. There's a radio station has a strong signal all over Wisconsin called Voice of Christian America. I think it's based in Toma. Anytime you turn it on, they're talking hate. Your fellow American is evil and the enemy, particularly with gays and lesbians. And are you doing anything to try to keep them in their lane? This is terrible.
That's exactly the kind of thing that we're trying to equip pastors and their congregations to speak out against, because this is not Christian. In fact, it's the exact opposite of what Jesus taught. And so one of the things that I really want to highlight and encourage pastors to look at is the Wisconsin Council of Churches resource called Jesus and Justice in Public. It is a guide for conversation about how to identify what's going on with Christian nationalism. What is the rhetoric they're using? Why is it so attractive to certain individuals? And what are the ways that we can counter that and stand with vulnerable peoples who are being attacked and violently hurt and even killed by white Christian nationalists? So thank you for raising awareness about that presence on the airwaves.
We hear the word freedom attached to white Christian nationalists at times, and I wonder what that word means in the context of a religious congregation.
Right. So it's interesting the way they're using the word freedom. So they want to be free to do whatever they want to do, to pass whatever laws they want to pass, to bully whoever they want to bully, to do whatever they want to do. But they don't want others to have the same freedoms. So there's a deep hypocrisy in the use of that word, but it has such a strong resonance with American citizens that when somebody hears that word, it has an emotional component. And so when somebody says, oh, we can't regulate guns because that's taking away your freedom to have guns, which is, you know, it's not true. It's actually a lie. We want people to have freedom for life, for thriving, for equality and equity, and just simply the rights of people like our trans siblings and our LGBTQIA siblings and our siblings of color and indigenous communities to exist. That's the freedom that we want, for them to exist and have full rights and citizenship and protection.
Reverend Shade, thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate the invitation. Thanks for having me here.
Reverend Leah Shade is an associate professor of preaching and worship at Lexington Theological Seminary. She contributed to the Wisconsin Council of Churches' new guide. It's called Jesus and Justice in Public. You can find a link to her blog called Eco Preacher at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.